Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's a mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lanes. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
And in living color, getting funky like a monkey, if you will. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, being featured here on Pancakes and Power Slams with our man Chris Featherstone and Derek, the Pancakes and Power Slam correspondent. We at the mothership, living color, funky like a monkey. We're doing it right. We're doing it big.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It's the Pancakes and Power Slams. We are back live on a Tuesday night. Back in action, full force. Derek, I know you got something to say.
Yeah, come on, Dusty. Get out of our studio. This isn't your show. This is the Pancakes and Power Slams. Chris Featherstone and myself, Derek the Rock, Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent. So, yes, live and in living color, not so much, but... we're here.
Well, we are live, and we are a living color. I was thinking of that. That show was amazing, man. What stars came from a living color? We got Jim Carrey, David Alan Grayer, right? It was the Wayans brothers was also on Living Color.
There was a ton of people.
Chat room. Yeah, it was a ton of people for sure.
Homie
chat
the clown.
Room, if you can think of Homie the Clown, that was Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was a really, really, really good show. And I think probably the most successful person that came out of In Living Color was Jim Carrey. So yeah. And it's interesting to know that that was his stomping grounds. He's such a popular, well-known actor throughout the years, but to know that his stomping grounds was in Living Color is pretty cool, actually. So
it was the only white
we are
alive.
And, well, yeah. I think there was – no, it was a white lady. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was on there. I forgot her name, but we'll pull it up here in a minute, as far as the cast. So yeah, it was a great show, great show. Early 90s, if I'm not mistaken, it was. And then the Heavy D was on the theme song. I remember that. So it was really cool. So we'll talk about Living Color some other time. But right now we have WWE Raw. Oh, here we go. April 15th, 1990 to May 19th, 1994. Oh, Jamie Foxx. I would probably say that Jamie Foxx is the most successful person that came out of In Living Color.
Jim Carrey.
Uh, No, I would say Jamie Foxx is more successful than Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey or Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, that's
Jim
Carrey's
are paid more.
Chat room or Twitter, who was the most successful person who came out of In Living Color? Is it well, you know what? You know, a third person would be Jennifer Lopez, because she was a fly girl, right?
Yeah, Jennifer Lopez. Hello.
Yeah, she was a fly girl. I think, yeah. Jennifer Lopez was a fly girl, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, that's fun. That was a fun opener to the show. chat room's asking, what was the question? The question was, who was the most successful person to come out of the show In Living Color? I guess the options are Jim Carrey, Jamie Foxx, or Jennifer Lopez, because Jennifer Lopez was a fly girl, and then, of course, Jamie Foxx and Jim Carrey. The Wayans brothers were successful, but they weren't as successful. Chat room says Jim Carrey by far. I don't know. I think Jamie Foxx was more, I mean, you know, just because his music and, yeah, I would say that. I think I'm going to go with Jim Carrey, yeah. David Alan Greer was really good, but I think I'm going to go with Jim Carrey as being the most successful person. Jennifer Lopez, though,
She wasn't literally the talent of the show, like, as far as...
Yeah, but she was a talent, though. A fly girl, I mean,
she was a fly girl, though.
She was a part of the show.
Nobody was just watching Living Color for the fly girls. It was always... I mean, that was an added bonus. It was like the Nitro Girls.
The Nitro Girls. Speaking of the Nitro Girls, one of the Nitro Girls ended up marrying Shawn Michaels. Interesting. I forgot which Nitro Girl did. I forgot her name as a Nitro Girl, but she actually ended up marrying Shawn Michaels. She was one of the Shawn Michaels gives her credence as being very instrumental of helping him through his journey and finding God and his faith. So kudos to that for sure as a man of faith myself. So speaking of Nitro Girls, I think my favorite Nitro Girl was probably Tigress or Miss Jones. I think she was probably my favorite. Miss Jones was probably my favorite person, period, in WCW. She was just amazing to me. And Charmel, she was Storm, and Charmel is now married to Booker T, six-time WCW champion, five-time WCW champion, six-time. I tell you what, dog. My wife, Charmel Sullivan, dog, was a Nitro girl. She ended up being Paisley, but now she's my Paisley, dog. She's in my face. She's number one in my fave five, dog. Yes, Dusty Rhodes and Booker T is in the studio today. Very much of a surprise, but Charmel is number one on Booker T's Fave Five, so there's your what is Book's Fave Five now? Is what the chat room asked. That's I think his man D Bry is still number one in the Fave Five, dog. He was a big part. He would always. I remember on SmackDown, subject to change at any moment. Very, very true, chat room. That's very true, because when he was on SmackDown, I actually really liked Booker T as a SmackDown commentator. At first, it really didn't work out too much, but once Booker T got in the hang of it, it really worked as far as being a SmackDown commentator. And there was even reports back then that Vince McMahon was really a fan of Booker T in the commentary, and I was too, man. He was just the catchphrases that he would do when Kofi Kingston caught up in the lights, dog, and it was great. And he had a Faye Five every week, and Daniel Bryan was usually one of his top Faye Five every week. But now he does a lot of ambassador work. I think he's in Australia now, and he does the backstage passes that's on the WWE Network. Speaking of WWE Network, we're going far away from the format here, but it's worth mentioning the WWE Network. Very, very, very good investment. I encourage anyone who is a wrestling fan to subscribe to the WWE Network. It is such an amazing it's an amazing look back into time. It's an amazing time killer. I work out just about every day, about 5 to 6 days a week, for about an hour and a half, and about 45 minutes of that I do cardio. And it's such an amazing way to you watch the network is an amazing way to kind of balance out the cardio that I do. Like for instance, today I was running and I was watching WrestleMania 17 on my phone while I was running on the treadmill. So it's definitely a good time killer, time filler, and it's WWE Network is very, very great. I was watching the Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels kind of the interview that they both had with Jim Ross back in 2011, I believe it was. It was right after their reunion in the beginning of January 2011 was when they had the show where Bret Hart reunited. Well, Bret Hart publicly made amends with Shawn Michaels, and it was a very, very, very poignant interview that Jim Ross did with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. It was in a studio, just a small studio, and they were just really shooting with each other, and they were doing it out of respect, but just to know that story and how they used to respect the heck out of each other, and then eventually they got into an ego battle. And Shawn Michaels just was kind of got the big head when he was champ at the time. Didn't really appreciate the people who kind of paved the way for him, and just the animosity that drew and that built between those two was just amazing. I mean, it got to the point where it was a work, and Bret Hart was talking about how when he left at WrestleMania, that was a work. When he was mad, he wanted people to make it seem like it was a shoot in the beginning. And then Shawn Michaels ended up talking about his family, and that was one of the biggest points, biggest shift points that turned it from a work to a shoot. And he got offended by that, and then they both start taking jabs at each other, like real jabs at each other and each other's family, and eventually it just got really, really bad. And they were explaining the Montreal screw job and how Shawn Michaels knew about it, Triple H knew about it, Hebner knew about it the last minute, and just – Bret Hart had nothing. He had no clue, and he was just really, really upset. And they both were crying in an interview. It was just an amazing, amazing interview. I just encourage everyone to check out that Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart interview that was done a few years ago. It was such an amazing interview. So let's start off with our trivia for the week. The first trivia question of the night is, what arena was SummerSlam 1992 held at? What arena was SummerSlam 1992 held at? And I'm going to tell you something else. Flavor of the week this week is going to be WrestleMania. Did you say the answer? You didn't say.
Yeah.
The answer.
So can I answer it?
No, you can't answer it. Of course, you can't answer
it.
We've been on the air for almost 2 years, and you still don't get it. I know that your thirst for saying the one out of a few answers that you know that's maybe right. I know that you have that anticipation to say it, but you know the format. We ask Twitter, we ask the chat room, and after a while, if they don't know it, we'll go ahead and let Derek, the Pancakes and Power Sims correspondent, know. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you what. We got some people in the chat room. Let's do an impromptu stomp the host. How about that? So, Derek, where, and
what?
I'm sure you know this, what
Wembley Stadium
arena was SummerSlam? Yeah, there you go. All right.
Sure.
Wembley Stadium. So now it's your turn or the chat room's turn to pose any question, and Derek or I will answer it. Or you can ask me a question, or I can ask you a question, Derek. We're going to have some fun tonight, Pancakes and Power Slams. And again, I want to apologize for last week. Family emergency, my son comes first. It was an emergency with my boy, and he's great now. Thank you, everyone, for being concerned and all of your support. He's doing great now, and he's just an amazing person. He's a year and a half, and he will just continue to be the light of my life. So kudos to my wonderful son, Elijah. All right, let's start off with WWE Raw in San Antonio, Texas. Oddly enough, no Shawn Michaels. No Shawn Michaels in his hometown. He didn't even appear at the end after the cameras went off. The Undertaker did, but Shawn Michaels did not. We start off with a Triple H in-ring promo. Batista interrupts, then Randy Orton. Triple H tells them that if he beats Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, he'll be inserted in the triple threat match. Now, over the past day, I have looked at the sites of, you know, I write for Wrestling.com and a Bleacher Report, so I check out a lot of their comments and seeing, you know, just keeping the pulse of the, just still keeping up with a lot of the fans and just the general consensus, or if it's half and half, if it's split, if the majority feels this way and the majority don't, vice versa. I just try to keep up with the popular versus not so popular opinion. Now, people weren't a big fan of this as far as Triple H inserting himself in the match. Now, I totally disagree with that. I am all on board with this segment. I was a big fan of it only because of this, not because of Triple H inserting himself potentially in the main event match, but because it makes more suspense for Daniel Bryan. Now, here's the thing. For all the marks and all the smarks, and you know, we know wrestling. We know what's going to happen. We know the next move. We know who's going to turn face, who's going to turn heel, who's going to win. Blah blah blah. We know these things. However, booking these days has to create as much suspense as possible. That's the reason why I also like the Brock Lesnar and Undertaker segment. We know Taker's not going to lose. However, we need to suspend reality. WWE booking and pro wrestling, period, needs to suspend reality to get us away from what we know and create that suspension in any case. And at this point, we need to suspend reality and make it seem like Taker's not going to win. We know he is, but we need to suspend that reality. Same thing with Daniel Bryan. We know Daniel Bryan's going to beat Triple H. I don't think it's a given that he's going to win the title, But we know he's going to beat Triple H. We need a face in the main event. There's two heels. We need a face in the main event. However, Triple H adding that extra flair to it, so to speak, it creates a suspension that kind of takes us away from the given. I think it was great, great booking, and I like the fact that Triple H put a stipulation that if he wins, he'll be in the match, and it makes it seem like it puts more weight. It puts more weight to the match between Daniel Bryan and Triple H instead of just saying if Triple H loses, Daniel Bryan's in. Now it's either or. So suspending reality, I think he did a great job doing that.
Yeah, they did. I did. I enjoyed the opener. It was great. See Triple H and Bryan just go at it. And Triple H is a heel. He's a better heel than he is a face. I mean, he's really wicked this time. I mean, he's really a twisted individual. So I'm buying into it. I like it. It's getting interesting again, especially with WrestleMania coming up. Batista walks out and RKO enters, and that was a – Batista is such – he does not fit in at all with anybody. It's so awkward when he's out there. I can't stand
True.
It. It's there's just nothing you can do about it. He just needs to leave. I don't know. He's – let TNA play with him. And but, no,
no.
I totally get that. I like the analogy you put behind that. So it's – I'm enjoying it, so keep it up.
Yeah, well said. Next, we have the Real Americans defeating the Usos. I wasn't a fan of this, actually. I wasn't a fan of this, and I've said it before. I've said it before as far as I don't think the champions should lose non-title matches to create number one contenders. I remember back in the day, in the mid-90s, and even early 2000s, where number one contenders matches meant so much. They should bring back the art of the number one contenders match. Defeating the champion to become a number one contender is lousy, lazy, lethargic booking to me. I cannot stand the concept of beating the champion in a non-title match to get a championship title match, because for the past few years, the only thing we see is the challenger beats the champion in a non-title match and then loses to the champion at the pay-per-view. It's the same song and dance. It's lousy booking. We need a number one contenders match. I would have been okay with the Real Americans against the Rhodes Brothers, a four-way match between the Real Americans, Ryback, so New Age Outlaws, and the Rhodes Brothers to determine a number one contender for the championship. But now we get the Usos losing. It takes away their it hurts their momentum. And at this point, the Usos is the hottest team in the WWE right now. Stifling momentum is a horrible idea no matter how you slice it. And defeating the champions in a non-title match always has the potential to halt momentum, and you should not halt momentum, especially going into WrestleMania. And I just didn't – I did not like it. I like the Real Americans. I really like the Usos. They're my favorite tag team. But – I just didn't like the fact that they beat them clean.
Yeah, and again, the same old song and dance, like you said, because it's, you know, they beat them, of course, the titles aren't on the line. Go figure, that always happens. And then, of course, when they do wrestle in the main event, it's, yeah, Usos win again. And, yeah, to squash the momentum they have behind them, that's ridiculous. I'm not huge on the Usos, but I see that they are the number one team right now, I mean, at least as far as hype goes behind them. So, and just to squash that, it doesn't do justice. It doesn't do good for any of them, because we all know Real Americans, yeah, they won, but they didn't win the title, so it's a
right.
A paper win, and it just doesn't make any sense. They're going to go into WrestleMania and lose, probably split up, actually, the way things are going between them. So.
Yeah, good. There's definitely a good possibility for that to happen. All right, chat room, where's the questions? Derek, you have a question for me? I may have already gave you a question. So we're going to stump the host today. What questions do you have, chat room? What questions do you have, Twitter? What questions do you have, Derek? Let's make it happen. All right. Even our Crave Wrestling administrative staff is on the chat room. So let's, maybe a Crave Wrestling intern could type something up on the in the chat room that may stump the both of us. So we'll see. All right, next we have Sheamus against Titus O'Neil. I'm not a big fan of this at all. I like Sheamus. I'm back on board with Sheamus. I knew this Titus O'Neil turn was going to lead to this. He's once again. And I don't like the lousy booking of the WWE because they have a concept ready, and then they pull the plug on it. They pulled the plug on the Sandow push. They pulled the plug on a Ryback push. They pulled the plug on Big E as Intercontinental Champion. I do not like this at all. Who was Golga? Is a question that popped up in the chat room. That was John Tenta. But I don't like the fact that they're continuing to pull the plug on potential pushes. And I wasn't a fan of the what did he carry to the ring? He carried a Cartman doll. He was with the Oddities. He carried a Cartman doll from South Park. Yeah. but yeah, and interesting question there. But I just don't like the fact that they're halting pushes. And I kind of said this about the Usos, but thankfully they're not doing this to the Usos. But Titus O'Neil, to me, he's just going to be another jobber heel, and they totally could have done something with this turn. I wasn't a fan of the turn, but it could have worked. I really think that they could have had Titus O'Neil versus Big E Langston at WrestleMania instead of just throwing Big E in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal and jobbing out Titus O'Neil. It was a useless turn, and I think it was horrible. is Derek, are you there? Are you consumed in looking at the chat room here? Titus O'Neil's heel turn, horrible.
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there now?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. Hey, so, yeah, Titus O'Neil, yeah, that doesn't – I like the Sheamus thing, and, of course, it was St. Paddy's Day. I'm kind of glad he's back. I don't know what they're going to do with Titus O'Neil. He seems like he's going to end up being lost in a sea of WWE superstars. They keep kind of teasing him around like this. They bring him out, he does a heel turn, and now he's just kind of, what has he done since his heel turn? It's been that impressive. I mean, granted, he had a good match against Sheamus, but it just, they squashed it. So I don't know what hopes and dreams they have for him now.
It was a decent match. It wasn't very good to me.
It was okay. It was good enough.
It was a bunch of clubbing, and it was just,
He held his own, so it was all right.
Yeah. They really could do a lot with Titus O'Neil. I mean, they really have the opportunity to do a lot, but I don't understand why they are not doing anything with Titus O'Neil, and where the heck is Darren Young these days? I mean, I have the network now, so I'll watch. I mean, I followed Main Event and Superstars as far as results, but my cable company doesn't have ION, so I had to watch it. I had to watch just the little snippets on WWE Network, but I have the on the WWE YouTube channel. But I have the WWE Network now, and I did that with NXT too. That's how I follow NXT, was through YouTube. But now I get to watch full episodes of NXT and Superstars and Main Event. So I watched all three of those last week, and I know Darren Young. I mean, he's a victim of the heel turn, and of course, he looks like he was the person who's going to get the Jannetty treatment, but there's no Shawn Michaels to the Marty Jannetty in this turn at all. I just don't see anything going with Titus O'Neil. It's really sad, too, because he has potential. He's getting up there in age, but he has a ton of potential. But no Titus O'Neil for me.
Yeah, no. I don't. It's not going to really pan out to anything, like I just mentioned. And, you know, where is Darren Young? What happened to him? He was on top of the world there for about a week, and now he's
exactly. Exactly. Looks like we have some questions here in the chat room. Looks like, what is RVD's real name? Rob, like Shatowski or something like that. Derek, your question is, who said I eat T-bone steaks and barbell plates?
Oh, that was Superstar Billy Graham.
Indeed, absolutely. I eat T-bone steaks and barbell plates. I see a question here. How long did RVD hold the TV title? It was 2 years. He held the title for 2 years. And he lost it to... If I'm not mistaken, he lost it to Jerry Lynn. No, he didn't lose because he hardly ever lost to Jerry Lynn. I remember he lost it because of Scotty Riggs. Scotty Riggs, 700 days, just about 2 years, or 2 years, a little under 2 years. Yeah, he lost it to, I remember when Scotty Riggs pushed RVD over, he was on the ropes, and he pushed him over, and I think he legitimately hurt his leg at that time. So, I have to remember exactly who beat him for the ECW television champion. It'll pop up. I don't remember exactly who it is right now, but for some reason I was thinking Jerry Lynn, but I don't think it was Jerry Lynn. It'll come up here. Let's see, what else do we have? No, you know what? It was vacated. That's okay. Because of the injury, I think it was I think he was going against Jerry Lynn or something like that, and it was vacated. And I think Super Crazy won it after that, if I'm not mistaken. Anybody feel free to check that out. But I think Super Crazy won the TV title after that. But all right, next we have a John Cena in-ring promo saying that he's afraid of Bray Wyatt. We'll get to that in a minute. That was disgusting. And then Bray Wyatt cutting a promo on TitanTron with the John Cena shirt on and John Cena armbands. I'm still not sold on this Cena and Bray feud for WrestleMania. I'm just not. For Cena to be such the poster boy for the past, 10 years plus, for him not to be at a featured spot at the biggest WrestleMania, and many people know, we've been on the air for almost 2 years, and we've had, I think we're upwards of I know it's six figures of listeners total in the past 6 years. I looked at the numbers a few weeks ago. Thank you all for that. That's awesome, awesome numbers. So people would know that I'm not a Cena fan. But I give him respect because he's busts his butt in the business. Like Tyler Rex said, he's a workhorse, and I agree with that. His work ethic is good. He trains hard to make sure that he doesn't really take advantage of the time allotted, you know, for someone to sit out for an injury. Talk about Superman. This guy, he has injuries that would, you know, sit a normal man down for 6 months, and he's back in half the time, you know, even a third of the time, you know, and many times. But saying that, I definitely – who accompanied Jake at Roberts at WrestleMania 3? Cooper, right?
Yeah,
I think it was Alice Cooper, yeah, against the Honky Tonky Man. Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think that John Cena should be in this type of role. For Extreme Rules, for even SummerSlam, I'd have been okay with John Cena and Bray Wyatt. But WrestleMania, no, I'm not buying it. And saying I'm afraid of Bray Wyatt, come on now. That was just such a horrible promo, saying that he's afraid of Bray Wyatt. That was just – I just don't like it. That promo made it even worse for me, and I'm totally not buying this feud right now. Not saying that the feud's not good. It had the ability to – ooh, good question. What Royal Rumble did Yokozuna win? I've said the entire Royal Rumble winners before a few times, so let me go through it. 88 was 88 was Dugan. 89 was Stud. 90 and 91 was Hogan. 92 was Flair. 93 was Yoko. 1993 was the is the correct answer to that. And then he went against Bret Hart at WrestleMania 9, and Bret Hart and then he beat Bret Hart, and Hogan beat Yokozuna within like 30 seconds. but yeah, I'm not sold on the John Cena and Bray Wyatt feud right now. Has potential to be good, but I'm not buying it.
Yeah, it's obvious. But Bray Wyatt, I mean, what's that doing for John Cena? It's stupid. So, to me, I don't really want to see him the poster boy anymore. He's kind of run his course a bit, but he's always going to come back. He's always going to be that guy that everyone's going to get behind and like and hate. But I don't see this really... What are they trying to accomplish from it? And since when was Bray Wyatt been so good to go up against someone like John Cena? So just the whole thing with the Wyatt still doesn't make much sense to me. I don't like it. So therefore, I don't like the angle.
Yeah, I agree.
It's lame. I mean, it's totally – it's filler. That's all it is.
Yeah,
they don't know what else to do with
this guy. That's what I don't understand. That's what I don't understand. John Cena in a filler match – because the thing is, the build is okay, but it's not very good. I mean, the build is just not even very good. I mean, you had rumors of the feud happening, and a lot of people saying, "Oh no, I really wish it didn't happen." And then Bray Wyatt attacking John Cena at the Royal Rumble, and then. They kind of forgetting, and then Bray Wyatt attacking John Cena again at the Elimination Chamber. So he attacks him twice, and it makes him afraid of him, and they just keep going back and forth with promos. It's not exciting at all. Then we had Daniel Bryan against Randy Orton. Good match. Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton have good matches. I will give them that. Daniel Bryan beats Randy Orton again, which is very interesting. It's almost as kryptonite. But just how they're booking Randy Orton as champion is very sad. As much as I'm not a big fan of Randy Orton at all, he's the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and the amount of times that he loses, it really takes away the prestige of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I just don't like how he's being booked.
RKO, I never did like him. I mean, they're making him a champion. And I've said he's a paper champion. Again, I want to use the word filler. I just used it. They're using him for some – they have nothing else to do with these guys. They don't know what to do with these guys. And it's – let's just throw the let's throw the strap on RKO, see what he can do with it. But let's have him lose against Daniel Bryan in a no disqualification match. And it's making it stupid. It's dumb. Who's in charge of this stuff, Chris? Not us, or else it would be a little
bit. No, definitely not. Yeah, I agree, man. I really think, and that's – I know a lot of people listen to this show. If you're out there and you are an indie wrestling booker that has Derek and I live in the Ohio area, and if – you live in the Ohio area and you have an indie show and you want a booker, I'm your guy. I know that I can book really well. And if I was hired in the booking team for WWE, I think that I could be like Eric Bischoff and revolutionize the WWE. And I tell you what, one of the things that I would do is I would have better mid-card matches. I would go back to the old and have the mid-card titles be the workhorse championships and have really, really good Intercontinental and U.S. Heavyweight Championship matches. Question here in the chat room, who was Cena's debut match against in the WWE? If I'm not mistaken, that was Kurt Angle, June of 2002 on SmackDown. And he comes out, Kurt Angle does an open challenge, and Cena comes out, and he says, "Ruthless Aggression," and slaps Kurt Angle, and actually had a decent match against Angle, surprisingly, at that time. Seems like he's gotten worse over the years, but he's actually not too bad now. Cena can actually put together some good matches. As many people don't want to admit that, he can actually put together some good matches. But the match that he had with Kurt Angle was actually pretty decent. So I think who was Toothless Aggression that unfortunately – well, that was Chris Benoit. So, yeah. I was just watching WrestleMania 17 on the WWE Network while I was working out. And, yeah, man, the match between him and Angle at 17 was really, really, really good. So, yeah. Next we have Goldust against Fandango. I'm very happy that Goldust won because Fandango winning would do absolutely nothing. I wonder why they had Goldust have a singles match. It seems like Fandango and Goldust worked well together, and they both have kind of zany characters. So it wasn't too bad, but I wonder if they're doing singles matches with Goldust for a reason. Is it a possible turn in the making? I'm not quite sure. So chat room says, do they have his matches on the network? Benoit, yes, they do. But they have a disclaimer saying, I don't remember exactly what it says verbatim, but it says something like that it doesn't reflect the WWE. You know, this footage is in its original form, and it doesn't reflect the WWE or something like that. But, yeah, it's music, mention, everything. Chris Benoit is on the WWE Network. How lame was the chat room? I disagree. okay, this is what I'll say about this. Yeah, Chris Benoit is a punk. I'm gonna shoot here. Chris Benoit is a punk, and for him to do what he did to his family, and I have an 18-month-old boy, and there's, oh my goodness, I can't even fathom how he would do what he did. There's no excuse to it. I am in graduate school for psychology and counseling, so I do know a lot of the psychological ramifications of consuming performance-enhancing drugs and steroids and all of those, HGH and things like that. There are psychological effects of that. That doesn't excuse what he did at all. And what he did was sick, absolutely sick. But at the same time, and it doesn't. There's no but to what Chris Benoit did. He's a, like I said, he's a punk. He shouldn't have done what he did. And I'm sorry for his son and woman, his wife, Nancy Benoit. That is without saying. I don't think the WWE. I'm okay with the WWE not mentioning him from an entity standpoint in Raws and SmackDowns and things like that. But the WWE Network, it's its own brand, so to speak. So you can't really unring a bell. You can't unring a bell at all. So taking Benoit's footage away from the WWE archives, I think it's a disservice in a sense. I think it's a disservice because Chris Benoit was an amazing talent. He's a punk. He was a punk. But for what he did, because like I said, I have a son, so there's no way I can even fathom someone doing that. But I don't think you should take away the footage from the brand of the WWE Network. So, I mean, that's my opinion on it. You know, that's my opinion. What do you think about that, Derek?
I mean, he was an awesome wrestler, great skill. I mean, he's part of the WWE history, and it's not their fault what he did. And I'd say, yeah, why not show him? Again, he's part of the history of the WWE, and you can't deny the man's talent. So what he did outside of the ring can't be justified by anything. But you know, as far as I'm concerned about his talent, yeah, I enjoy watching him. I do. You can learn so much from his technique, his moves, because he's taken his techniques and moves from past wrestlers, veterans, Davey Boy Smith.
Dynamite Kid, especially.
Dynamite Kid, that's what I was thinking. You slipped my mind real quick. But
yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. They should show him. If they took him off, I wouldn't think that they're punks for taking him off. But yeah,
I agree.
He's part of the history. He's part of the show.
I agree. That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it as far as him being a part of history. You know, he's a part of history. Let's put it this way. We talk about Hitler. You know, we bring up history on Hitler. Hitler was one of the most ridiculous tyrants in history. And people do projects on him. There's all types of documentaries about him. You know, just because, I mean, it's a part of media. Media is not positive, even, you know, it's more negative than positive usually. But, you know, media is media, and you can't take away something. You know, like I said, there's a history of just notorious, ridiculous people, and they're showcased, unfortunately, but it's just a part of history. So, yeah, great chat on Benoit. And again, you know, that's how I feel as far as the WWE footage is concerned. So, yeah. Go, Dustin Fandango. Your boy lost, Derek.
Yeah, I saw that. Wasn't too happy about it. But he lost against, so that kind of made me happy. I'm glad Goldust's still in the game. He's still keeping up with the talent there. So,
indeed,
keep the stride going. I like what.
Indeed, absolutely, and being 15 years, you know, older than about around 15 years older than Fandango, you know, almost 15 years older than he's keeping up for sure. Uh-oh, we got a Crave Wrestling admin with the question, who defeated Los Guerreros for the tag team title when Eddie turned heel? All right, good question. Derek, do you know? Or anyone in chat room or Twitter know? Twitter with the Basham? No, that's not right. That's not right. Incorrect answer.
Mysterio.
No, he turned on.
That was the intern. That's not the right answer. Get out of here.
Let's see, and we'll see. Because Los Guerreros, because he didn't turn on chat. Oh, okay, it says Ray and Eddie. Sorry. Okay. Ray and Eddie.
See, I told you.
Who defeated Ray and Eddie?
I told you.
When they were for the tag team titles, when Eddie turned heel. Eddie turned heel on Ray. I believe I know this. I believe it was Eminem, if I'm not mistaken. I think they were like in England or something like that on a SmackDown, and it was Eminem. So. Let's see. Hopefully that is says correct. Great job. All right. Stump the host is fun. Keep those questions coming.
Chat room,
Twitter. Keep them coming. So next we have. You said it's fun.
What color were the ring ropes? What color were the ring ropes at WrestleMania 6? Who put
ring
that in the
ropes?
Red, white, and blue. Duh.
What color were the ring ropes?
Continue
on
the show.
Goodness.
We're sorry, folks, that we have these people with these lame questions.
Asking for ring ropes. What color were the ring ropes at Bash at the Beach?
How many springs were under the mat?
What was the exact measurements of the ring per square footage? Next we have Kane in the ring calls out Jerry Lawler for blaming him for the Occupy Raw segment, and then the Shield appearing and surrounds Lawler, but then turns around and attacks Kane. See, here's the thing: I don't think the Shield should be babyfaces. I think Roman Reigns should break out and become the face and feud against the Shield, and there should be another member inserted in the Shield. I think the Shield should stay together. I'm thinking my first pick would be Leo Kruger, who's now Adam Rose. I don't know. What color was Ultimate Warrior's elastic bands in his last match? Which one?
Neon green.
The match against Orlando Jordan in Italy when he won federation off the top of my head. Universal Wrestling Entertainment or something like that. Universal Wrestling Entertainment or Federation or something like that when he went against Orlando Jordan. I don't remember. I believe that was his last match. And that was like 2008 or something like that, or 9. But, yeah, I don't know. elastic bands. It was probably, I just made it up. Yeah, I know. It was always multicolored. So, that would be my guess. Red or blue or purple or green. Roy G. Biv. That's my answer. Roy G. Biv. So all the colors of the rainbow. I don't like this Shield thing. I don't like the Shield going face. They're such a good heel stable. I think that they – here's the thing. I tweeted this, I think it was today, with one of my colleagues, a good friend of mine. He was – we were talking, actually a couple good friends of mine. We talk wrestling all the time. And we just random tweets at Chris Prolific, random tweets throughout the day talking about just random stuff. And we had a small chat today about the Shield breaking up versus staying together, and he mentioned how there's still life in the Shield at least until SummerSlam, and I agree with that. But here's the thing: Roman Reigns is the star of the Shield. Period. Point blank. I like how Rollins is getting more over. Ambrose to me is just not over. He's to me he's the bottom of the totem pole. Boy, I know that's your boy. I know you used to wrestle with him, but I don't dislike Ambrose. But at the same time, I'm just not sold on Ambrose as far as his push on the Shield is concerned. They're doing really well with Rollins kind of working him up. I see Rollins as more of a Jeff Hardy type of figure, to be honest with you, and I think he's a better wrestler than Jeff Hardy is. And I think he has I think he can go that route and get over. But I don't see much in Ambrose. I think maybe that U.S. title hurt him a lot because he hardly ever defends it, and it's just kind of really collecting dust on him. But Roman Reigns is a star. It should be a triple threat match. There's no dispute. I can't believe why they're kind of pulling the plug on this again, talking about pulling the plug on pushes. When this happened on Raw, I tweeted live, "Goodbye Roman Reigns push." That's exactly what I tweeted. And they had so much going with Roman Reigns and eliminating 12 people at the Royal Rumble and all this set up just to feud with Kane. This is horrible. And there's some rumors going around as far as what the Shield's match would be at the Royal Rumble. It should be a triple threat match, and Roman Reigns should continue his slow build to become a main event star by doing what Austin and Jericho and Triple H and Rock and Angle, all of them, all the top stars did to become a big star, was to win that mid-card, and Michaels, to win that mid-card title. And Roman Reigns would have been a perfect candidate for that, but for some reason the Shield's back together again, and they're all friends, and now they're feuding with Kane. I'm not a fan of this at all.
I mean, they were feuding not too long ago. You're like, oh, okay, these guys are probably going to split up or something. And that's forgotten about. Well, everybody remembers it, but nobody on WWE TV staff remembers it. So it's I don't want to see him as a face. I do like the faction. I understand the whole thing, how Moxley. Ambrose still has his due coming to him. He's going to be around for a while. I think all the members of the Shield will be around for a while, whether they're still going to be together or not. I don't see why they're feuding with Kane. And it's like, again, the whole thing with the Wyatts is forgotten. Nobody knows what to do with anybody in the WWE. Everyone's running around with like a chicken with their head cut off. So, but with the Shield,
yeah.
I don't. They're just using them for nothing, for giggles. I mean, it's just everything's so misplaced right now going into WrestleMania. But, you know, I have hopes it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I hope so too. It looks like, I mean, it's lousy booking to me. That's why I think another question from the Crave Wrestling admin. What was Seth Rollins' name in ROH? What was Seth Rollins' name in ROH? Chat room, or I know this, actually, so I'm not going to give it away right now. Derek, chat room, Twitter, wherever you are, feel free to answer that question. What was Seth Rollins' name in ROH? That's an easy question to me, but... we'll see. I just don't like the whole Kane against the Shield thing. The Shield is baby faces. No. Next, we have Funkadactyls defeating AJ and Tamina Snuka. This, to me, this screams CM Punk is dating AJ Lee. CM Punk walked out, so now we're going to show AJ Lee who's boss. I mean, that's pretty much what I can say about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Divas division. You don't expect a whole lot from them anymore. So, AJ Lee, really don't know what they're doing with her too much anymore. Shucks. I don't, any good questions?
Yeah.
Let's keep momentum going. Let's go. Let's keep it going.
The question right now is, what was Seth Rollins' name in ROH?
I don't want to answer it either. That's an easy one.
At least the Tamina Snuka and AJ possible split, I'm a big fan of that because Tamina Snuka has so much potential, and just to be a lackey for AJ is just horrible. So even with Tamina losing, I mean, even with AJ losing Tamina, to me this is just total, I don't think none of this is happenstance. I think just about all of this is happening because of Punk leaving, and AJ is getting buried because of it. Wasn't too big on the Naomi eye patch. They could have done away with that. I know that she had orbital surgery, but at the same time, from what we reported at wrestling.com, the eye patch, her eye's fine now. Everything went well, and she's recovered. But the patch was done for a shoot for Total Divas. So, whatever. I mean, it's kind of lame, but because she was just featured with Stephanie McMahon doing something, and she didn't have her patch. So, yeah, I guess anything for Total Divas. So, and I did watch Total Divas, and I've watched every episode just. As a journalist, it's important for me to know everything, you know, concerning with wrestling. And I wrote a article about JoJo and Randy Orton last year, and it got over 100,000 reads, so people were interested in that. But, yeah, so, you know, Total Divas is a decent show. It's a little bit too over the top for me, but a lot of times I watch it shaking my head. And understanding, like, okay, yeah, this is totally scripted. Like the first season when JoJo was there, it seemed a little less scripted, but now they went to the drama. Just ridiculous. Only girly men watch Total Divas. Well, hey. For the sake of being a paid journalist, I'll be a girly man. I'm very heterosexual, but for the sake of Total Divas and for the sake of getting compensation, hey, whatever. That's what I'll tell the person in the chat room that did that. That was a troll statement. I got sucked into a troll statement. My bad. But Big Show and Big E Langston and Dolph Ziggler and Mark Henry defeating Ryback, Curtis Axel, Alberto Del Rio, and Damon Sandow. Big push for the baby faces for this Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I thought about this yesterday when I went to work out after Raw. Chris Jericho and RVD in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. If not, I can see the Big Show winning. Otherwise, I hope that we see Chris Jericho and RVD come back because they're due. Good job, Tyler Black is the correct answer, and chat room. Yeah, so I want to see this Andre the Giant Battle Royal be better than the Royal Rumble because I did not like the Royal Rumble. I wasn't happy with what I saw. We saw Dagon JBL come in the ring and go right back. Who won the WrestleMania 2 Battle Royal? That's a redundant question. Andre the Giant. That's what.
Didn't we just talk about that a few weeks ago?
Yeah, we just talked about that. That's what the Dagon Memorials is all about, for Andre the Giant winning the WrestleMania 2 Battle Royal. Come on, chat room. Come up with better questions than that.
Don't worry, we took care of him.
Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to be better than the Royal Rumble, because the Royal Rumble was just not good. It wasn't good. Batista winning was not good. Daniel Bryan not being in it was not good. Jericho was rumored to come back. He didn't come back. That was not good. Your boy El Torito was in the Royal Rumble. That was horrible. It was not a good Royal Rumble at all. So I hope that this is better. I hope that we see RVD and Chris Jericho in it. And so it should be good. With Jericho and RVD winning that WrestleMania payday and not having to commit to stay around afterwards, I can see Jericho and RVD in it. And Jericho, I'll mark out if Jericho comes back to be in that Andre the Giant Battle Royal. So, to be honest with you, as much people didn't really like the concept, and I know that it is lazy booking to an extent, because they're just throwing people on WrestleMania. But the thing is, if I was someone like a Zack Ryder or Dolph Ziggler, I'd be ecstatic. Because I get that WrestleMania payday, and I'm on the WrestleMania card, and I don't have to be like Brodus Clay and what was it last year? What was it that got bumped? It was Brodus Clay and Tensai and the Bellas against Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes, and the two heels were. It was the Funkadactyls and Tensai and Brodus against the Bellas and Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. That match got bumped off last year. So, you know, that was unfortunate that they had a WrestleMania angle building to the show and got bumped off. Because they wanted to have enough time for Rock and Cena. But, hey, this Battle Royal gives people an opportunity to have that WrestleMania paycheck, so, hey, so be it. And this eight-man was a little fast, but it was good to see eight of those participants that's going to be in the Battle Royal.
Yeah. Hey, a Battle Royal, like you said, anyone can just kind of throw it together. And it's... Hey, let's put a battle royal. Let's kill some time. But battle royals are always a good time. You enjoy them. Yeah, except for the Royal Rumbles of late. But for the most part, people will pop out of nowhere, and it's great to see Y2J and RVD. It'll be good.
Like,
I mean, anything at WrestleMania usually goes to the fullest potential that it can. So
hopefully.
It's decent. Throw Andre the Giant on it.
Yeah, hopefully this year it would. A couple of question mark names. Rey Mysterio, Well, two things about Rey Mysterio. He got booed almost out of Pittsburgh when he was entrant number 30, and people thought it was going to be Daniel Bryan. I felt sorry for Rey Mysterio once in his WWE career, because I was a big fan of Mysterio in WCW, but not in the WWE by any stretch. When he came out as 30, oh man, Pittsburgh was it was no good at all. And as far as Sting is concerned, I see Sting in the chat room. Sting would be an interesting surprise entrant, but I don't think that should happen. Right now, the most consistent report right now is that he will be there after the Raw after Mania. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Sting being there in the Raw after Mania. And maybe they can do a – I don't think that they can book – I don't think that they have the ability to book a year-long feud again like they did with Cena and Rock at 28. I don't think they can do it again. And Sting and Taker for 31 – I don't think that they can build it that much. One thing, and everybody knows, Sting is my all-time favorite wrestler. I don't want to see an oversaturation of Sting. And I'm saying that out of total respect for Sting. If we oversaturate ourselves with Sting, it'll take away the mystique. It'll take away the desire to see him on TV. So a general manager role for Raw or SmackDown is a total no-no. Do not make Sting a general manager on Raw or SmackDown or NXT or Main Event or Superstars, period. Do not make him a general manager. We need to see Sting sporadically. And I don't think that we should see a lot of wrestling matches with Sting. I just don't. I think he should be featured on the network. I think that he should maybe have a match, maybe at SummerSlam, maybe at the Royal Rumble. And I'm not too sold on that either. So next we got Bray Wyatt defeating Kofi Kingston. Okay, this is what I'll do. I've said enough that I had to say about Kofi Kingston. The guy is just a nobody. I will give Derek the stage to do a impromptu State of the Union address about Kofi Kingston. The floor is yours, sir.
Kofi Kingston is an armpit of the WWE. What are you going to do with him? Why is he there? How long has he been there, and why do they still have him on TV? They totally don't really respect him, it doesn't look like. They don't really want to hone on his maneuverability, his talent. He just comes out, and you just kind of want to hide your face when he does, because there's nothing there to see. You're like, oh, no. It's like to watch the Cleveland Browns play. You're just waiting for something. Doggone it. Kofi Kingston. What did I miss out on anything?
No. I think you've covered all cylinders on that one.
That poor guy.
And the guy's had, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's had nearly 10 mid-card championships. And a few tag team titles as well. I know he had, at least three. I know he's had tag team titles with at least three people. R-Truth, Evan Bourne, and CM Punk. So even with that, I think it was back in 2009, if I'm not mistaken, he had that match with Orton. He had the feud with Orton that kind of came up and kind of had something to it. He beat, he was the sole survivor at Survivor Series, I think, back in 2009. So he had an opportunity to be somebody, and, this is what gets me about Kofi Kingston. I said I wasn't going to say anything, but it's just too tempting to just bash this guy. And I'm trying my best to hold on to liking Kofi Kingston. I'm trying. But this is what gets me about Kofi Kingston. He does the same old theatrical jump to some type of clothesline-looking chop. The person's laying on the mat, and then he gets all pumped for the boom drop, like the crowd is going to share his level of being pumped. No, Kofi. You,
the crowd is not going to share your level of being pumped because they're not pumped. It's just not, it's not the same, Kofi. It's not the same anymore. I've seen a lot of times where he'll do that little setup to the boom job. He'll come on, and he'll just start start marching and jumping, and then the crowd is just like, okay, come on, let's finish this up. Boom, boom. Okay, next. And, oh, man, this is really sad. It's really sad. And he was squashed by Bray Wyatt, which makes it very, very sad. Triple H and Daniel Bryan face-to-face. We get Triple H having mad respect for Daniel Bryan, Stephanie coming out, screaming, fake cops. And then Triple H just beating the snot out of Daniel Bryan. Interesting chat room comment, the beatdown of the year. If that was a slammy, it definitely would be the beatdown of the year for sure. And it was just bad. It was just horrible. And, hey, here's the thing. If Daniel Bryan has to take that type of beatdown to become legitimately world champion, instead of losing it, you know, minutes later at SummerSlam, and then the next day it becomes an abeyance, vacated. This should be a legitimate Daniel Bryan run. His first run was minutes, and his second run was hours. So hopefully this one doesn't progress to days. Hopefully it's months. So. I think this is a good sacrifice to build up Triple H and Daniel Bryan. I think it was a good way to end Raw.
Yeah, it was a good way to end Raw. It was entertaining. I mean, I couldn't stop watching. So, I mean, there's just so much going on. And everyone, it's Triple H. He's got a soft spot. He wants to be nice to Daniel Bryan and not have him get beat up by the policeman. And yeah, he had you all fooled. That was a magical moment for Triple H. So, and Stephanie, wow, she was evil. But
She went back to old school. And I tell you what, man, I was watching WrestleMania 17, and Stephanie, she wasn't half bad at 17. She was a little. I think Stephanie's 38
now. At WrestleMania
17,
everybody. WrestleMania 17.
Yeah. At WrestleMania 17. Thank you for clarifying that up. Yeah, not at 17 years old. No. But it's still odd, though, that she keeps saying that Andre the Giant was my friend. And, I mean, it's just odd. It's just odd that she keeps saying that. And she was like 2 when Andre the Giant was in the WWE. But, no, she was probably 10 maybe, but WrestleMania 17, yeah, she was like 24, 25 at the time, and yeah, she looked quite nice. And I'll tell you what, China didn't look too bad either. She went against Ivory, and yeah, I mean, I was pretty impressed with China. I mean, she as best as she can. I mean, she. It wasn't too bad, so yeah. It's and interestingly enough, China and Stephanie, they both were and one of them are involved with Triple H. How about that? Interesting chat room question, or Derek, you can answer that. Who else? What other WWE superstar? What two WWE superstars dated China? What two former WWE superstars dated China?
X-Pac.
Yes. X-Pac is one of
Triple
them.
H.
Indeed.
Triple H.
Other than Triple H.
Road Dogg.
I'll let you marinate. No.
You don't know
all
for
right,
a
let's
fact
go to
you weren't there.
Well,
Eddie Guerrero. No,
I,
not Eddie.
I know. I know a lot. You know, it's my job to know a lot. Triple H in-ring promo at SmackDown. That was a good way. Again, that was a good way. Seth Rollins as a babyface match was good, but I don't like that mushroom stomp. That can, yeah, that can be. I can do without that. Rhodes Brothers and Real Americans. Rhodes Brothers win, but Real Americans beat the Usos. That's why I just don't understand about that at all. Another Bray and Kofi. And I'll tell you what, Carlos Colon, newest Hall of Fame inductee. I think that's well-deserved. And then Kane just loses all the time, man. Just sad, very sad. Kane and Chris Jericho. At least Chris Jericho has had multiple championships. Kane has had two, or he's had one WWE and one World Heavyweight Championship, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe off, maybe one, but I think he's had one and one. Jericho's had a total of six altogether, I believe. Kane's had two. I think Jericho's had six. So. But I don't like how Jericho puts people over all the time. But Kane, I mean, Kane's a monster, and he just loses all the time. And you can also check my SmackDown review on wrestling.com. You can also check out my Impact Wrestling debut, my Impact Wrestling review on wrestling.com as well. Has media tweets of the wrestlers about their matches and about the show. So Impact Wrestling was decent. I like Sonata and Tigre Uno as a team, but them beating the Bromans wasn't a good idea since the Bromans are the champions. Anderson got his revenge from lockdown for Samuel Shaw. Brittany comes in and defeats the Gail Kim. And then we see Eric Young and Abyss and Samoa Joe against each other, DQ. Angelina Love and Velvet Sky moment was just so weird, so weird. We saw Willow, the alter ego of Jeff Hardy. I can do without him, too. And then Bully Ray is on the process of being a full-fledged babyface again. So I'll see. I'm not sold on that totally, but I'll give it a shot. Willow rocks. We got a chat room. Willow rocks. I don't think so. I saw some Willow footage from Omega back in the day, and Willow was very over in Omega. But, you know, 15 years later, I'll pass. All right. The flavor of the week, WrestleMania 15 and 16. 15 was held in Philadelphia. We had Hardcore Holly defeating Billy Gunn and Al Snow in a triple threat hardcore match for the Hardcore Championship. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett defeating D'Lo and Test for the Tag Team Championship. Butterbean defeating Bart Gunn in the finals for the Brawl for All. The Brawl for All was funny. Mankind defeating the Big Show, but he was still Paul White at the time. It was kind of both. It was to determine who was going to be the special referee for the main event, which was just weird. It was a weird concept there. Kane defeating Triple H by disqualification. Sable defeating Tori to retain the women's championship. Shane defeating X-Pac to retain the European Championship. And then a Hell in a Cell match between The Undertaker and Big Boss Man was just odd. That was a very odd Hell in a Cell match for The Undertaker. But at that time, they were both like in the corporation, and then Undertaker was kind of breaking away and feuding with people in the corporation. And Big Boss Man was like his victim. And Steve Austin defeating The Rock in a no disqualification match for the WWE Championship. That is one of three WrestleManias that The Rock and Stone Cold was in. Here's the question, by the way, real quick, before we get into the WrestleMania 16 and close the show. What other two WrestleManias were headlined by Stone Cold against The Rock? Stone Cold against The Rock. 15 was one of them. There's two 16. More. What other WrestleManias were headlined by Stone Cold versus The Rock? All right, WrestleMania 15, Derek.
WrestleMania 15 was really – it was a I liked it. It was a good WrestleMania. That was, 1999. So, yeah, I was digging it. I liked the proffer of all at the time. Yeah, it was pretty silly when you look back at it. But Hardcore Holly – or no, who was that? That was Bart Gunn. I'm sorry. Bart Gunn.
Bart Gunn.
He was
yeah.
really good during the tournament. Well, he went against Butterbean.
Surprisingly.
One punch, he was out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. He knew he could fight.
Yeah.
Shane McMahon versus X-Pac. This is when Shane McMahon was dabbling in the ring. And I tell you what, Shane O'Mac was always spectacular in that squared circle, man. I mean, that started just so many good feuds with Angle. It was breathtaking. Undertaker against Boss Man, Hell in a Cell. That was crazy. It just didn't make much sense. But Austin and The Rock, it just awesome match, man. They always knew how to tear the house down. So WrestleMania 15 in my book was good. I liked it. I'd watch it again and again.
Amen. I agree. And then we have WrestleMania 16 that was in Anaheim, California. We had Boss Man and Buchanan defeating The Godfather and D'Lo Brown. Pippin ain't easy, man. Ice-T coming out with the rapping. Hardcore Holly winning the Hardcore Battle Royal for the Hardcore Championship. TNA defeating Head Cheese. Edge and Christian defeating the Dudley Boys and the Hardy Boys in a triangle ladder match. Terry Runnels defeating the Cat with Val Venus as a special referee. Too Cool and China defeating the Radicals in a six-person and intergender match. Wasn't really an intergender match because China was the only woman. I guess that made it an intergender match, but the other team didn't have a woman. And then the triple threat match for both Intercontinental and European Championships that Kurt Angle had, it was him, Benoit, and Jericho. Jericho defeating Angle for the European title, and Benoit defeating Angle for the Intercontinental title. Rikishi and Kane defeating DX, and then Triple H defeating The Rock, Foley and Big Show in a four-way match to retain the WWE Championship. The Rock won the Royal Rumble that year and lost at Mania. A lot of people, there's always mixed reviews on WrestleMania 2000. I didn't think it was as bad as people said it was. I didn't think it was as bad as people put it out to be. One interesting tidbit about WrestleMania 2000, there was not one regular singles match at WrestleMania. Either the singles match had a stipulation to it, or it just wasn't a singles match. The only singles match actually was Terry Runnels and the Cat, but that was a cat fight with Val Venus as the referee. So, very interesting tidbit there. But Hardcore Battle Royal was memorable. The triangle match was good. I was okay with it.
And I was okay with it, but I think this was kind of when the WWE started kind of going, I don't know, away from the formula that they used to make them the highlight that they were. I mean, 2000 was still in their heyday, but this WrestleMania just really didn't have that same flavor and spice that it's had. So it was kind of different. Yeah, with everybody, there wasn't really any singles other than Hardcore Holly and Crash Holly. And, Runnels and Cat, but cool. I mean, you had a lot of great names there. So Chris Jericho was there, Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit. So you had the talent there. So, yeah, it was a decent WrestleMania, but it's not one I'd put in the top 10 by far. Main event was okay, but, again, there's just too much going on in every match. So it was just kind of confusing.
All right. Well, CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Follow @CraveWrestling on Twitter. Follow me on Wrestling.com. Gotta go. Until next week, enjoy a week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.